sort of like the council show today. We've got Michael Goodrich in again from the Shire, and with him as guests, Gary Dittes, also from the council, and from Hixa, Ant Boxall. So it's going to be a bit of a full-on show, lots of things to talk about, and grab hold of your ears, because you're going to get so much to hear about in this next hour. But hello, Michael. Good to see you again.
Hello.
And your colleague, Gary Dittes, you brought in today from the Shire. Last show, we had film festivals and stuff like that.
Yes.
So what are we going to be sort of looking at today?
So actually, I was out at Hixa about a month ago, actually, to pop in and say hello. In my previous role at council, I was a youth worker, and I was very lucky to work in partnership with Hixa, where I was there 3 days a week helping them run their youth programs.
Yeah.
So I was really lucky to be experienced that place, and it's boomed in the last 2 years since I've been there. And so when I caught up with him about a month ago, I bumped into Ant and said, you know, you should come on to the air with us today and chat about what's happening at Hixa and give the community a bit of a background around who they are and why they're so important and what's happening there as well.
Mm.
And also chat with Gary, you know, only last week actually, and really interesting story that popped up about Simon Wonga and his connection with Woori here as well. So it'll be a great chance to actually talk about that again here today as well.
Mm. Now, you're Hixa, they're based out of Hillsville, but they cover a lot of ground in the Shire, doing all sorts of things, especially with the Indigenous community. So, Ant, what's your role at Hixa?
I'm the community engagement worker out there.
Yep. And you've been there long?
Up on 6 months now.
Yeah.
So I finished my diploma and ended up getting a job out there, which has been fantastic.
Yep. Now, I heard earlier you were talking to Neil and you did your diploma and you did your studies. And then, as soon as you finished, they went and made it all free.
Yeah. It was a bit of an expensive event. But no, I love the industry and love working, especially for Hixa as well. So, yeah, it was well worth it. But, yeah, no, it is now free.
Mm.
So, yeah, I encourage people to go out and do the Diploma of Community
Services.
Yeah,
get some studies
and help community. Yeah. It's such an awarding opportunity that,
Yeah. And Neil teaches the community sort of engagement work out there at the TAFE at Lilydale. So there's plenty of courses around and opportunities for people to get into having some sort of study behind them so they can get involved.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Mm. And what made you actually take that route?
I went up north and, just loved Punalulu National Park and sort of all stemmed from there. So I came back and thought, I want to work in the Indigenous community. So the only way I could do that was to go do my diploma. So I was a qualified locksmith prior.
Yep.
So I gave that up and went to school, and now here I am, the community engagement worker at Hixa.
Fantastic stuff. And you're there 5 days a week?
I'm five days a week now at the moment, yep.
Yeah, great. And what sort of involvement do Hixa have with the council, Michael? Is there much working together on things?
Yeah, we're quite close. Actually, I think Gary is like, you know, he's been there since the very start, probably, with Hixa and the connection to council. I think he could speak a lot better than I could about that.
Yeah, I've been involved at Hixa since the very beginning, and even prior to that, a few years prior, working with the Aboriginal community out there around trying to set up an Aboriginal community health centre or a community centre that delivers a range of health and wellbeing programs through that really strong cultural strengthening approach.
Yeah.
It's been quite a journey. I met a lot of fantastic people, a lot of committed people, and it's a real credit to the Aboriginal community of Hillsville and surrounds to get Hixa up to where it is today.
Hmm. Yeah, because how long have Hixa been operating out there? Ant, about
this is our 10th anniversary this
10
year.
10 years now, right.
So we're going to be celebrating that soon. It's just in the process of getting organised.
Yep.
But yeah, it's our 10th anniversary. Last year we became an ACHO, which is an Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation.
Yep.
So that happened last year. So now we're able to offer a wide variety of healthcare services in a culturally safe space and being able to welcome community in. So now we're just expanding, like exploding at the moment with all the services we're getting. Now we've become an ACHO.
Yep. Fantastic. And it's 1:15 here in the Community Connection show. I've got Michael Goodrich from the Shire in, and he's brought in two guests, Gary Dittes, also from the Shire, and Ant Boxall from Hixa. Now, Hixa's been going for quite a while, but Gary, you actually know sort of the basic history of Hixa, how it started, how that land and the buildings came about. So you want to bring us up to speed on that?
Yeah. I first became involved in what we call an Aboriginal Community Centre concept for Healesville back in late 2006.
Yeah.
And I was part of a group that were advocating very hard to set up an Aboriginal community-controlled health service based on cultural strengthening approaches from that time.
Yeah.
We really managed to get some currency from the Department of Health's Close the Health Gap campaign when it started to roll out in the spring of 2009. And it was through that process that we're able to convince the Department of Health that the number one priority for closing the gap in the eastern region was the establishment of an Aboriginal community-controlled health service that offered a range of different services to the community through that really strong cultural strengthening approach. And it sort of it took off from there. We did some initial work in those early days, but a lot of the stuff went and working with community and a lot of the elders and a lot of the current board members of Hixa to actually incorporate Hixa as an organisation on the 4th of December 2009. Yep. It was quite a milestone, and it was a culmination of a lot of hard work by a lot of elders and a lot of Aboriginal community members, and we'd like to think they were well supported by our Rangers Council throughout that whole process, and remain so to this day.
Yeah. And Swinburne also had a bit of a partnership in the early days.
Yes, there were three agencies on site at that particular place. There was the Healesville Living and Learning Centre. Each had a service there, Rivendell, and Swinburne had UNA, which was their Aboriginal education and training facility. And in a quirk of fate, that UNA was originally set up by Ann Jenkins, who was a key player at Swinburne at the time. And the fate is that now Ann is the Chief Executive Officer of Hixa, so she's sort of done the full circle and ended back up there. But Swinburne decided to leave the Yarra Valley some years ago. Their interest waned, and they had other areas for focus. And so Swinburne already had an arrangement with Hixa, but when Swinburne left, Council assumed that facility and was able to offer Hixa a peppercorn lease for those facilities, and it's continued to build over that time. And we don't, Council not only offers Hixa a lease these days, but also a partnership agreement and offers funding to get some health and wellbeing outcomes for the Aboriginal community. So Council's advisory committee have often mentioned that any Aboriginal health initiatives have to be framed up through a really strong cultural strengthening lens, and everybody knows that Aboriginal cultural strengthening is probably not Council's strongest point. And so they decided to invest in the Aboriginal community leaders who had serious expertise in that area. And they worked with the likes, and I mentioned Nan, but there's Miranda Madgwick, Desina Fergie, Arnie Dot Peters still plays a critical protocol role in there at Hixa, and some of the elders have sadly passed away, but their influence remains nonetheless.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
And it's 1:24 here on the Community Connection show. I've got Michael Goodrich from the Shire, along with Gary Dittes and Ant Boxall from Hixa. And Gary was talking just before the break about the history of Hixa out there in Healesville. But Ant, we'll talk now about what is on offer at Hixa. What's it delivering to the community?
Okay, yeah, being a health organisation, we've got we're growing at a huge rate at the moment. We have the AAD support team we've got there at Hixa, which is run by Trevor. We have Peg, which is a clinical psychologist. She's into eco health. We've got Fiona. Fiona now is in a new role, which is she's doing. She's AAD support as well with Trevor. And then we've got Shanae, which is a youth engagement worker. The youth engagement worker. So.
And all these things are targeted to the Indigenous community.
That's it. We're we've got Shanae. Shanae runs the Young Warriors group. And she also runs the youth group. We're just coming to the end of a young mentors program, which ends in 2 weeks. But at the end of each year, we reassess all programs just to see how we're going. We talk to community, how they found it, how it all went. Yep. So all our services are engaged with community. And we work off of them to see what they liked, what they didn't like, how it was working for them. So each year we do evaluate everything. Well, at the moment, we've got a vacant position for men's worker. So if there's anyone out there that would like to do men's work within the Indigenous community, we do have a position available, and they'd be doing the men's group and the young warriors and the cultural section of HICSA. So, at the moment, that everything's on hold there for the moment.
Yeah.
Then we have Kim. Kim runs the art group out there that we have going on a Monday. At the moment, we've got a deep healing through cultural strengthening 16-week program coming up that Kim's going to be running, which we're going to be launching on Monday the 16th of September, which is a Pamper Day for all women that would like to come out, Indigenous women that would like to come out, and it's a Pamper Day for all of them, nails, hair, sort of that's to kick off the program. We have Dev. Dev runs Game On every fortnight on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. So if your children are keen to work out not only playing games, but being like writing code and being all in facets of computering, repairing and that sort of stuff, we've got the Game On stuff. And then we have Victoria Uni out there, which are the osteopaths on every Thursday. So if you like some osteopath, we've got that going out there on a Thursday.
You've talked about all these wonderful people doing all these different things, but you haven't talked about you.
I'm the cultural engagement worker. I run a lot of the events, like I organise. Yep. I've organised the health day. A lot of we had gambling, safe gambling come out to us. That was a fantastic event. We've got the Christmas coming up, the Christmas party, and that coming up at HICSA. So we are open for any donations for that if anyone's out there. So anyone, if we want to donate hampers or any monetary value, we'd be more welcome to accept that coming up to Christmas. So, I basically just put on events. I engage with community, talk with community, find out what they're wanting, what they're liking, what they're not liking, any services, gaps that I can help out,
So you work with HICSA and engaging with all sorts of other community groups, but also businesses and services out there to see how the Indigenous community out here can be helped through HICSA.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. So, pretty important role.
And I think we mentioned at the start, but actually what does HICSA stand for, which is the Healesville Indigenous Community Service Association. And I worked there briefly about a year or so, which is really an amazing experience for me. But community was such an amazing thing to see how HICSA works. And they do have community at the centre of their services, so it's an amazing place where you can go in, and if you're a part of that community, they come in there in a really holistic approach to how do they support, look after and help that community thrive. So someone comes in and wants to be part of the community and is an Indigenous, and they're extremely welcoming, but they really look at the whole family, the whole community, how we support that person to connect up to their culture, connect to the community, and support them to have a thriving life, which is incredible. You don't see that often in other services where you come in and they look at you as a, you fit into this box, you're here or you're here, where they really look at that whole person, how they're living and how they can support that person and their family as well, which is, it's phenomenal to see. So you do an amazing job, Ant. And it's,
thanks. We're always tweaking place. It.
Yeah.
So talking to community, seeing what works, what doesn't work, reevaluate over everything. So it's always constantly changing. It's never our way or it's always community way. We do try, we don't always get it perfect, don't ever get us right there, but we go, that didn't really work well. What's the better way to do that? And we bounce off a community. All our services are for community. It's not for you come here and we do it our way. It's we really, really try and get the services to suit the community that are wanting the services, and if they don't want it, then the service or whatever it is doesn't exist. We remove that and put it in place what they're after.
I've noted, I think it's worth mentioning, Hicks operates under a reconciliation model. So whilst their focus is certainly Aboriginal people, the reconciliation model also acknowledges, you know, non-Aboriginal fathers, non-Aboriginal mothers, non-Aboriginal brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, aunties, uncles. And so their definition of Aboriginal community includes that, the breadth of those non-Aboriginal family members as well. They're always made to feel incredibly welcome and part of the HICSA program.
Absolutely. I know it is based in Healesville. You do reach out to the whole community across the whole of the Shire. So it doesn't mean if you're not living in Healesville, there's still, you do a lot of outreach to different areas as well, which is incredible to see the workers like Trevor and the rest going out. And I've seen them out at Warburton and Yarra Junction and everywhere. Wherever somebody is, they'll go to or help them get to that place.
Yeah, and then we've also got Gail there, which is part of the Bringing Them Home program.
Yeah.
So she works with the what she calls the first generation of the stolen generation. So she's there helping anybody from the stolen generation to find family, to find out history, to get access to adoption from, you know, when they were stolen.
Yep.
So she's really out there working hard to connect culture to families, reconnecting everybody. So, yeah, she's doing a hard job.
What I find good is the, Gary, you use the word, sorry, Michael, you use the word holistic, because in the past, in some of the community work I've done, I'd come across someone who has certain needs, and you ring up different agencies, and if they don't fit in that box, sorry, he's too old, she's too young, whatever, they just get no help. So to have a centre like HICSA where someone can walk through the door, and all of a sudden there's this range of services and helps available for them, I think is much needed, and a model that other agencies could really apply more. Because, to be rejected or knocked back because of, you know, one thing about yourself that you can't help, like your age, can be devastating, you know. Whereas if you can go into an agency like HICSA and all of a sudden they're thinking outside the box rather than putting you in it, is very helpful.
That's it. Yeah, we work on more of an eco health than a mental health. Yep. So the eco health is everything around us that we take into account, not just someone's mental health. It's just absolutely everything. So it's good to be a part of.
Absolutely. This is the Community Connections show. It's 22 minutes to 2, and I have Michael Goodrich from the Shire, along with Gary Detez, and from HICSA and Boxall. We've been talking about all sorts of things, especially to do with HICSA. But now we're going to go back probably 150 or so years to an Indigenous fella, Simon Wonga. And you got some fascinating history on this guy.
Yeah, thanks. We're probably going back to about 1824, where we think was about Wonga's birthday. It wasn't actually written, but we suspect that. So most people have heard of Wonga Park, and Wonga Park's called that after an Aboriginal guy called Simon Wonga. So Simon Wonga was the Narrangeeta back in the time of the Batman Treaty. Him and his cousin, William Borack, were young men when Batman actually first came into Port Phillip Bay. There's a couple of really interesting things about Wonga, particularly relevant to Warriyalak, this is the place of Wonga's birth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really interesting thing to consider that such a famous person was born here in Wari. I'm sure there's been plenty of famous Wari people before, so that's not a big thing.
Mm. And for those maybe not aware, what is Narrangeeta?
Narrangeeta is the headman of the Wurundjeri tribe.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a headman or a king or a of that here. He was more of a diplomat, worked around diplomacy, advocacy, got a lot of consensus. He was sort of like the guy that connected everybody up and was able to undertake a decision-making processes that sort of focused on, say, the next seven generations of people. So he was a very, very important person, without a doubt. Wonga had many skills. Language was one of his key attributes. He was able to speak all the dialects across the Kulin nations, and he was also very versed in mimicking animal noises. But he was that good at that, and there was an example of when Wonga was approached a farmer up in Warrandyte seeking employment for himself, but for a heap of his Aboriginal family and colleagues. And the local landowner gave him a test, and he said, if you can round up all those horses and whack them in that corral, you can have a job. Mm. So the landowner expected Wonga to mount the horse and go and round up the other horses and bring them back in. But Wonga made just a couple of noises to, like the head stallion would make, and all the horses came down and put themselves in the corral, and Wonga just shut the gate.
Yeah.
And said, how's that? So the landowner immediately employed him and the rest of his family, and named the station Wonga Park, and that's how we have Wonga Park here today. A lot of the information I've got from a researcher called Jim Poulter, and Jim worked with the local Wurundjeri people in putting some of this information together. But like many Aboriginal people, Wonga had this extraordinary ability for sound, and he wasn't just able to replicate the animal's noise, he was able to replicate the purpose of the animal's communication.
Yeah.
In other words, as was common amongst a lot of those Aboriginal people, he could quite literally speak to animals, which is something that we struggle to consider these days. And Wonga and his cousin Barak, along with Scottish pastor John Green, led a contingent of the Wurundjeri and Tunnerong people down into Healesville, down what was called Black Spur, as Ant was talking about before, from the Akaran Valley, where they were given some very sparse, rocky land that they were expected to carve a life out of, which was virtually impossible. A lot of politics behind that move, but they'd had enough. So down the Black Spur they came, and eventually settled in along the Yarra River, and that became known as Corranderk. And people familiar with Corranderk would understand that it was the most successful Aboriginal station in Victoria, legendary. And so much happened there. And the story of Corranderk is one of great hope and one of great despair, but it's also one of great courage and one of great achievement. And we regard Corranderk as the spiritual home of Aboriginality in Victoria today.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a bit of a film about Corranderk and Barak, I remember that Scottish pastor minister there, and I saw that at the MIMO just a couple of months ago at an Aboriginal event, and yeah, fascinating stuff that I only just heard about there, you know, weren't taught about in school, that sort of thing. So this sort of hidden history that's sort of there and exists, but we don't get it through our education system. We have to find it in other ways.
We don't. And the diplomacy skills that both Wonga and Barak had rocked the elite Melbourne social scene to its very core. And they did it effectively and very, very deliberately. They were able to engage with high society with great clarity and skill. Their skills around diplomacy and advocacy, as I mentioned, were second to none. They are men of incredible intellect, and they were able to work the politicians beautifully. And I wished I had those skills today to achieve the effect that they had. And they really threatened the social structures of the elite to achieve their outcomes, and their outcomes that they sought were just the health and well-being of their people.
Mm. Yeah, and finding out the history and sort of life and times of Simon Wonga is fascinating, because nowadays we might lionize or call a hero someone who just plays football or something like that, whereas someone like Simon Wonga, who's gone through so much, especially for his Indigenous community in such times of turmoil and change in Australia, he's done far more than just about anybody who'd come across today.
Oh, absolutely, and that's why we regard Simon Wonga as in that top echelon of influential Victorians.
Mm.
And the only other one that I regard as his peer would be Sir John Monash, and all he did for outcomes for community over a number of years. But yeah, very few people could hold a candle to Simon Wonga, and we're hoping to make his story more visible and make it more accessible to a broader range of people.
Yeah.
We would love to be able to have school curriculum developed around this stuff. It's a history of Victoria that hardly anyone knows, and yet is of great significance and great importance. and the implications for Aboriginal community today that Wonka presents is this incredible role model that was able to match it with the best, and not only match it with them, but beat them at their own game, and he did it consistently. So he was very unpopular with the Aboriginal Protection Board, for example, who was a right thorn in their side, and they hated him, and they hated Corranderk, and they hated Barak, because these guys made them look stupid.
Yeah.
Just through being honest, upfront, and open, and transparent, and shine a light on these guys, and these guys did not want a light shone on them at all. They were virtually corrupt.
Yeah.
And thanks to Wonga, they were able to survive and thrive despite great adversity. But as these things go, the system finally wore them down, and sadly, Corranderk was shut in 1924. But interestingly enough, it is the way that the Aboriginal Protection Board went around achieving that outcome through what we would call perverse public policy, such as the Half-Caste Act, for example, where if you were deemed to have non-Aboriginal brothers or fathers, you were removed from Corranderk, and you were integrated into mainstream society. So that effectively got rid of all the young people out of Corranderk.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you were a really, really good Aboriginal person and you did the right thing and you embraced white ideology, they would make you an honorary white person. They would give you a special tag that said that you were a special Aboriginal guy, you were able to access white services. Shame that you weren't allowed to actually go back to Corranderk and catch up with your brother, your mother, or your father, or your aunties and uncles, because if you did, and the white authorities found out, you would be arrested, you would be taken away, you would be belted up, you'd be thrown in jail, and you would have all your privileges removed, and it was game over at that point. So the process that the Aboriginal Protection Board went around securing the close of Corranderk was perverse in the extreme. And the outcome of that is provides a lot of the challenges that Ant and that the Hixa crew are dealing with today. And we're talking about that that trauma, that intergenerational trauma that is still with us. And that is an artifact of those perverse government policies.
Yeah. So when people say, get over it, or that was way back then, or whatever, policies and procedures that happened 100 years ago still affect things today.
They very much affect the health and well-being of Victorian Aboriginal community today, and it will tomorrow, and it will next year, and it will for some years to come. One of the things that we really try and to put a positive spin on this, there's the courage that Wonga, John Green, and William Barak displayed. As history is the history of all Australians. So what I'm basically saying is that Aboriginal history and Aboriginal culture is the history and culture of all Australians. So being non-Aboriginal people, we're on Aboriginal land. The story of this land includes our story.
Yep.
And our story includes Wonga and Barak and Corranderk. So Aboriginal culture and history is the culture and history of all Australians.
So for people to find out more about Simon Wonga and the history, and especially as it relates to this area we live in, where would they go?
I'd give Ant a call.
Yeah.
Yeah, call up Hixa.
Absolutely. Hixa are very, very good at storytelling, and they are keepers of stories. But also the Wurundjeri Council and Wandoon Estate in particular, who now have carriage of Corranderk itself. This is their life, this is their story, this is their family. As I said, it's the story of all Australians now, and there are keepers, and Hixa do a great job of being part of that storytelling keeping place of history and culture. Play a vital role in that space.
And Hixa can be found on the internet, hixa.org.au. That's their website, and all the contact details are there for you if you want to follow anything up there.
You're with Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
And 6 minutes to two, this is the Community Connections show, and we're talking a lot of Indigenous history and events and talking about Hixa. Now, Ants, you're from Hixa, and Hixa have numerous things coming up that you want people to know about.
We have a community lunch, which is held on every second Wednesday of every month. The next one is on the 11th of September.
Yep.
So if you'd like to come up, get in contact with Hixa, and just register, and we get all community coming. We've got services providers as well come, so it's a good place to network, get to know community, understand the services that are at Hixa, and look at also understand the people that are supporting us as well. So also we've in need that we also run a program on every Friday, which is called Tucker Bag, which where you come and you get free food, like it's a second bite program.
Yep.
It is very, it's a very time demanding event where it takes staff of Hixa 2 days. We start on a Thursday and we finish on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
So if anyone would like to be a volunteer for that and come and help volunteer, we are looking for volunteers to come out and help us out at Tuggerbag. It's a very rewarding program. We get to meet community and yeah. Also, we've got a car boot sale coming up. So if you'd like to be part of the car boot sale, come and bring your stuff along, or yard sale. We've got a lot of stuff for sale. We've got a lot of offer furniture and numerous other things, but we're also asking other people to be a part of it, and also we'll be selling food there as well.
Okay, so you can find all that stuff out from the website, Hixa. That's hicsa.org.au.
And also our Facebook page, which is runs every day. We update, I'm updating that every day, and everybody's putting stuff on that. So Hixa Facebook page just keeps rolling on. So, yeah, check out the Facebook page as well.
Yeah, click it, like it, friend it, follow it, whatever you do nowadays.
That's it.
Now, Michael, you have some news too.
Yeah, it's a little quiet for volunteers as well. So Link is based in Yarra Junction. They do a lot of services. They do a healthy eats program. So we provide healthy food on Fridays at the Yarra Junction Centre for anybody as well there. They do transport. They do a lot of intake around providing people with some financial support as well.
Yeah.
And they're calling for volunteers. They urgently need some volunteers. If you want to be a driver for their volunteer program, for their transport, to help do intake, to help do the Fresh Food Start program. So you can contact Link on 59672119 and chat to them, but they'd love for you to do some spare time. If you're sitting at home right now and listen to the radio, you can give them a call and be help support community. It'd be fantastic.
Okay, that's Link, L-I-N-C, out there at Yarra Junction. All right, thank you very much, gentlemen, for coming in. Michael, Gary and Ant, good to hear all those things happening, especially for the Indigenous community out here. And yeah, for those who've been listening, check out as much info as you can on Simon Wonga. Amazing history of the man and what he was able to do out here with Barrack. So that is it for this show today. It's about 3 minutes to two. News coming up at two. And Michael, we'll see you again in a month.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
No worries, gentlemen.